Hey everybody, it's Pastor Jay Keaton with Liberty and Faith Ministries here. I just want to thank you for joining me today. Happy Resurrection Sunday. Wow, it is amazing every time we gather together to remember that wonderful day. And really, we should do it every single day of our life and walk in that amazing thankfulness and gratitude towards Jesus, who lived his life and gave his life, and then Lord, and God raised him from the dead so that we could have access to heaven. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done for us. I pray you live in that. I pray your heart is filled with goodness. I pray that this year you walk with God in a closer way than you ever have. And we're going to need it. I believe we're going to need it. The 2024 is going to be a very challenging spiritual year. I have said it for a very long time now. Things are going to get pretty rough this year, so live close to God. Hopefully, we are raptured out of here very soon. I believe it's absolutely on the doorsteps. Please, everybody, I'm really begging with you and to you to put your hand in Jesus' hand. Live close to God. Don't let that great and wonderful day happen, and then only to look back and be left behind, or finally believe, really with all your heart, after it's all said and done, and then face the coming wrath of God that's coming to this earth. Please settle in with God. Give in. Give everything you can of yourself to God, all of you. And what a wonderful change he'll make in you. I know there's a lot going on out there. A lot of people need prayer. I know that there's some ladies in our B9 fellowship, which I'm so very proud of, our little church we have going on. It is awesome. They are awesome people. They are filled with the love of God. They are on fire for God, and we are just having a ball worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. So proud of all you all that are listening to this, that are part of our B9 fellowship. It is great. And if you want to belong to that and come to that, message me. I know that there's some people I got to get back with, but please do message me and I'll get the address where we're having these meetings to you. It is wonderful. You will not regret being there. But there's so much stuff going on, and I do ask you to be praying. The ladies keep track of all this stuff. There's so many people that's sick and ailing. People that's passed away and their families are just distraught right now in this time of year. So God knows who they are. Keep them in your prayers, please. I'm going to read a scripture to you that God has laid on my heart. A long time ago, God gave this to me, and I've never forgotten it. And it's so very important. And we'll read this and then we'll have prayer. This is in Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 5. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the grave, from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. These are angels. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, listen at this, what the angels said to these ladies. Listen at this profound question. And this is what we're going to talk about here in just a second. It says, why seek ye the living among the dead? I want you to keep that in the back of your head. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray right now with all the listeners out there, we're in agreement right now in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would save souls first and foremost, God. That's all we desire. We want souls to be saved, to come into loving relationship with you where they would give all of their heart to you and you would born them again, God. We pray for that. Oh, Lord, let it happen, we pray, Jesus. I pray for all of those out there who's having a hard time, God. So many different folks, Lord. And we know that if we tried to name them, we would leave someone out. But you know them. You know them all. You know our little B9 fellowship, God, and all the things just going on in this little fellowship. I pray for each person in that, God, that you would lift them up, raise them up. Lord, help us as we worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord Jesus. We pray for Dana Witt, Lord. We thank you for this man of God. We thank you for him, Lord, and his vision that you've given him, Lord, and the wonderful people that surround this little community of faith that we have. We thank you for it, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for a group to preach to, Lord, that are ready and willing to hear the word of God that's on fire for you. So meet every need and give us wisdom as we walk through the word together. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, what a profound question, you know. Why seek ye the living amongst the dead? You know, God has just a way of getting straight to the point, doesn't he? God wants to get to the point of your life, too. He wants to get through all the rubbish, if you will, and go straight to the heart of things, to the soul of things. And he wants you to seek what's alive, not what's dead. The ladies come to find a dead Jesus, but he had told them that he would rise again. And they were expecting to find something dead. Listen, there is nothing dead in the Savior that we serve. Can I get an amen on that? There is nothing dead about Jesus the Christ. They came seeking the living amongst the dead. What a profound thing. These folks thought that they were coming to see a dead Savior. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ is alive. Amen. I mean, let's go back together and put ourselves in their position before we just judge them, so to speak. I mean, let's look at the mindset and let's look at their position, the position of the followers of Jesus back in this day and time when all this was going on. I mean, all of Israel was alive and buzzing at the miracles Jesus was doing. His disciples was just amazed as they watched God the Son. Can you imagine watching the Son of God do miracles on this earth? Could you imagine? I mean, with your own very eyes, how that would have affected you? I mean, you would be so much different than what you are right now if you actually lived with Jesus, saw him, touched him, hugged him, and you heard God the Son speak to you. God's words coming from his gracious mouth, entering into your ears, the same spoken words that created the earth and the world and everything that's in it. Could you imagine if you were living with him as they did? Could you imagine the mindset back then as God, the Son, the second person of the Holy Trinity, was actually walking amongst his people, Israel? Could you imagine? The place was abuzz. I mean, they had heard of the miracles. They had witnessed the miracles and people loved the Lord. But yet there was people that didn't. We know the religious leaders of Jesus' day was so jealous of him. Boy, that's something we have to deal with even today. Jealousy amongst God's people. Jealousy when God does something amongst a certain group and not the other. Jealousy amongst preachers. Jealousy amongst people in the church. I mean, this was a problem back then. But the mindset, all of Israel was alive and buzzing, and they just knew that this was the Messiah. Finally, he had come, you know. The disciples themselves knew that this was the Son of the living God. Even Peter said, "So to whom shall we go? We believe that thou art the Son of the living God." There's nowhere else for us to turn. His disciples was convinced that he was the Christ that had come to set them free, that this would be the time of Israel when all things would change and the Romans would finally be thrown out of Israel. Hope was in the air. God was with his people, Israel. Man, I can almost feel it in my spirit right now, the feeling that they had. Oh, how people, you know what, if you and I were back there, it would be one of these things like, you know, we would all get together and say, "Hey, Jesus is going to be preaching over here. Let's go see him." You know, all of us would get together and we would band together. And we'd go want to hear the Lord speak and preach and want to be a part of what he was doing. Man, it was a fantastic time. And then come Good Friday, when they witnessed who they just knew was the Christ on the cross, it just destroyed them. It hurt them. so many people in Israel. We see even on the road to Emmaus, the two disciples there that Jesus walked along with, they were just stricken with remorse. And their heart was just overwhelmed with grief that they just knew that Jesus was the one, and yet they thought he was dead. So I understand. I understand. I mean, they were so distraught after all that hope, and now he was gone. The 3 years that they watched him heal lepers and heal people and raise the dead. I mean, can you imagine if you and I were back at the tomb of Lazarus and we were one of the ones that was standing around? Can you imagine what it would have been like to hear the voice of Jesus, the Son of the living God, cry out, "Lazarus, come forth"? And can you imagine if we were there and we saw Lazarus wrapped in his grave clothes come walking out of the tomb? And Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." I mean, could you imagine? And then all of a sudden, those 3 years are gone. And it appears like we've stepped back to square one and we've lost all hope. This is how it was back then. I mean, looking at Jesus feed the thousands of people with just a few fish and bread. And as I said, the lepers and the many people that got their healings, and the deaf and the blind and the demons being cast out. There was so much going on. They just knew that this was him, but they had the wrong mindset. They wanted a carnal savior. They didn't understand the spiritual savior that was given for them. And these two women, saddened by the death of Jesus, had forgotten all that he had promised and said. He said he would rise again, that death would not hold him. And in their disbelief, they approached the tomb of Jesus to find a dead Jesus. They were looking for the living amongst the dead. The Holy Spirit began to fill my mind, and it occurred to me that we spend a lot of time searching for life among dead things, or searching for things that makes us feel alive, but is still among dead things. Things that take care of the temporary, things that make us feel good for now, but they don't produce life. We look for life all the time. Satan gets a hold of our minds and our vision and will lead us down carnal pathways, thinking that we're finding life when we're only inheriting death. The Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, looking for living things amongst the dead. I just think that back then, that they had this humongous sad feeling that they were experiencing, that their Lord was dead. I mean, it had to have been a hopelessness that I can't even put words to. I mean, I know it was felt in every person that knew Jesus, that in their heart they thought he was gone. There are so many Christian people right now who lose hope when Jesus is right there. They're not finding the hope that they need because they're trying to find it amongst dead things. I mean, I guess they just couldn't believe something so astounding as conquering death. I mean, they'd never seen it before, right? I mean, everybody who died stayed dead, right? How astounding that must have been. They had never known anything like that. Tombs that are empty, people dying and coming back to life. I mean, how astounding that must have been. After all that Jesus had done and the miracles that he had shown, yet they were downtrodden and defeated in heart. I mean, let's face it, probably all of us would have been just the same as them, right? Very difficult to believe that a tomb would be open and someone would be alive, but he did it. And he showed them this many times in his life, even with Lazarus. And do you remember the young maiden that he walked in and took the hand of who was dead? And he grabbed her hand, and the gracious words of Jesus came out of his mouth and said, "Talitha kumi, which is to say, maiden, arise. And the little girl that was dead lived again. Jesus showing us that he had the power over death. That those that were coming to take care of his body in the tomb shouldn't have been so surprised. We try to fix spiritual problems we have in our lives with things that's dead, things that can't help us. We try to replace Christ with other things. We don't mean to do it. I mean, it's not like we set out to, well, we're going to replace Christ today. No, but we do it without even thinking about it. Listen to me carefully. The only thing that can give you life and that can change your life and cause you to get on a life pathway is Christ, Jesus, the Lord. Stop looking for the living amongst dead things. Walk with Christ and let him introduce you to true living and life. Let me ask you a question. Are you looking for a Jesus that has all of the answers? Are you looking for a Jesus who is alive and well today? My Jesus is alive and well and fully operational and is ready to touch you, heal you, deliver you, and lift you up. Knowing where to find Jesus is the most precious knowledge any of us can ever have. Listen, it's not just enough that he rose, that he died and rose again. We got to know where to locate him. So many people are looking, but they haven't found him. They're looking in the wrong place. You won't find him by using money. You won't find him in a can of beer. You won't find him in marijuana. You won't find him in stealing and lying, etc. You will find him when you look through the eyes of faith and call upon his name. He will be right there. He is never far away, just invisible to those who look without faith. It's not just about logic. The angels were asking them why they're looking in the exact last place he would be. Why are you looking for Jesus here? This is the last place on the planet Jesus would be. Why are you looking for him here? Man, people look for Jesus in all the wrong places and in all the wrong things. The unspoken next question is, why don't you look for the living, listen to me, among the living? And the reason's pretty simple. It isn't about lack of belief in Jesus. They just don't believe they'll find Jesus in the living world. They thought he should have been in the tomb. The question for us then becomes, are we looking for the living Christ among the dead? Do we hear Jesus without listening to Jesus? Are you coming to church to try to serve a Christ who's still crucified to you? Or do you believe in what the Master said, that he would rise again on the third day? Time to look for Jesus among the living, folks. Hear me. And what I'm about to say to you, I have known some people down through time who prefer a dead God rather than a living God. Why, you ask? A dead God never makes any demands in your life. A dead God never challenges you. A dead God never gets in the way of what you want to do. A dead God never asks you for your time, your money, your help. Your help passing out food to the poor or to tell others about him. No, a dead God is never demanding from you. A dead God won't mess with your way of doing things, your friends, your work, your profession. No, a dead God is something like an idol you adore, but really isn't anything to you. It's just an object of your affection. Are you following me? A dead God won't insist that you're sexually pure or financially honest. He doesn't judge what you say or how you curse while you're saying it. No, no. Tell me then, would it be appalling to you if your God came to life? Or if he asked something of you, if he started engaging with you, changing your priorities and challenging your choices? Finally, listen, let me tell you what a dead God can't do. A dead God can't heal you. He will never hear your prayers. He can never heal your heart. He can never give you freedom. He can't lift your spirit or fill you with joy. He can't hear your prayers or touch your soul. And finally, a dead God cannot give you victory over death or victory over the grave. A dead God will leave you right there, awaiting the great white throne judgment where your final destination will be hell. I proclaim the living Lord Jesus Christ today. He is alive and wants you to know it. He wants to turn your life around. He wants to turn your sorrow into joy. He wants you to wrestle with Him, to weep with Him, to rejoice with Him. He wants to fight with you against sin in your life. He wants to heal you. He wants to give you hope and a future. He wants to turn your death to life. He wants you to treasure Him in every minute of every day. Yet with all of this knowing that we have, why are we so easily defeated? Why do we let things that have no promise of life and provision dominate our mindset? Why do we let the world distract us from life and joy that's in serving Jesus, the living God? Satan was absolutely defeated at the resurrection of Jesus. It is why he fought so hard to keep it from happening. He knew that when Jesus rose from the grave, that after him who believed in Jesus would be given that same victory, and that he could no longer control our destiny. So then what's the problem? Why do you live in a defeated, downheartedness state? Just like the two men who were walking with Jesus, as I said, on the road to Emmaus, they were so defeated and down. All their hopes had been dashed that they thought Jesus was dead. If you think Jesus rose from the grave, stop thinking that way, because you do serve a risen Savior. He's alive. There is hope in Christ. There is hope in Christ. So how do you see Jesus? Is he someone whose life is just but a story to you? A dead God? Do you serve a dead Savior that's all about the tomb? Or is he the King of life and hope and glory, the deliverer of your soul? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every single person's salvation who hears this. God, save souls, I pray, Jesus. And if there's anyone who would want to contact me to have prayer, Lord, let them call. Lord, I will pray with them. Lord, I will lift them to you, Jesus, so that you can heal them and save them. Oh, minister to your people, God. I don't want to see one person go to hell, Lord. And yet people look for the living amongst the dead every day. Help us, God. I ask your blessings and healing and salvation in Jesus' name. Amen.